Welcome to Ask Our Pastor, where your spiritual questions are answered. On Ask Our Pastor, we will meet with leaders of various denominations located in our community. Each spiritual leader will address topics ranging from modern religion, leadership, youth, community health, and many more. Stick around to hear from your local spiritual leader, and if you have questions about today's session, or if you would like to continue the conversation, go to www.askourpastor.org. That's www.askourpastor.org.
A very good day to everyone. Welcome. We are joined by a very special guest, Mr. Peter Goditis, who is the Executive Director for the New York Disaster Interface Services and also the President of the National Disasters Interface Network. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Could you tell us a little bit about the organizations that you represent?
Sure. So New York Disaster Interface Services is a federation of faith-based nonprofits, philanthropies, congregations, social service agencies that work in the five boroughs of New York City. We were founded just immediately following 9/11, so almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we also are part of a number of national networks that work in the disaster human services footprint, the VOAD movement, Voluntary Organizations Active in a Disaster, as well as the National Disaster Interface Network, which is a network of organizations similar to NIDIS that have local faith-based networks that respond to disasters. So we have a staff of 28 employees that work on everything from case management and temporary housing services, evacuee services for Puerto Ricans and U.S. Virgin Islanders following Irma and Maria. We have a faith sector community preparedness program, and we have a faith-based census outreach program as well. And we also work with many agencies around New York City and New York State.
Okay, so speaking about disasters, we have one on our hand of epic proportions. Could you share with us? We know in these times, you know, persons look towards their faith-based organizations for prayer, for comfort, for healing. What advice do you have for, first, the faith-based leaders, the organizations, and secondly, for their congregation?
Right. So as everyone is aware, we now have a novel coronavirus outbreak that has been classified as a pandemic. So that means it's a global outbreak. New York is one of the three largest infection states in the country. And it is growing exponentially very quickly. It is not contained. So the number of infections went up by almost half yesterday in New York City, and they've gone up an average of 10 to 20% a day. We would anticipate that that's going to continue. We are in regular contact with partners at the CDC and the health department. And, of course, the other interesting and challenging aspect of the COVID-19 virus is that it is most risky for those who are over 60 or those who are compromised in some way with a chronic health condition like diabetes, heart disease, asthma, certainly anybody who's on chemo or HIV positive. These individuals are at a much higher risk of adverse effects, so a bad infection or death. Approximately 2% of everyone who gets coronavirus dies, this version of coronavirus. Now, that doesn't seem like a large number, but that's 20 times higher than the seasonal flu, which kills tens of thousands of Americans every year. Mm-hmm. Congregations are one of the places that we all turn to every week or every day to bring us hope and healing and connect us to community. So normally in a disaster, Americans and many people around the world gravitate towards finding solace in community. The challenge with the coronavirus is that that's a dangerous place for us to go physically. And so we need congregations to think about different ways of doing ministry than they do today. And that would look like a few things. One, is it possible to live stream, FaceTime live, WhatsApp live liturgies so that older congregants and people that are not well could participate remotely?
Mm-hmm.
If churches decide, synagogues, mosques decide to close, then could that be done by Zoom meeting or some other web-based kind of video platform where people could either dial in on their phones or listen in or go in on their computers? I know many churches and other houses of worship have suspended services. The city and the state are not saying that anybody has to do that yet, but the governor yesterday did impose a law under the state of emergency that restricts the number of people that gather to under 500. So mm-hmm. all gatherings over 500 are banned, but under 500, whatever the legal occupancy of the room is, that legal occupancy is now cut in half. So if your church held 200 people, you can only have 100 people at a service at any one time. We also know that the virus sits on surfaces an extended period of time, so it doesn't just die after a few minutes, but it can stay in the air for a couple hours, and it can stay on surfaces for at least a day or more. So every time people gather in any space or use any ritual object, including Bibles or prayer books or organs or communion cups, altar rails, all those surfaces must be well desanitized before another group can come in. And we should obviously try to avoid touching those surfaces as much as possible. So maybe encouraging people to bring their own Bibles or prayer books and things like that, and to not touch altar rails and chairs and things if at all possible. And within churches and other gatherings, people should in general stay a good 6 to 10 feet apart, and if they have to get close together, to not touch each other or shake hands or kiss or hug or the kinds of things that people of faith always do and are well known for their loving hospitality. So these are challenges for us, I think, culturally in terms of our practices, but they're also challenges when people are feeling bad and you want to comfort them. We also recommend that clergy and lay caregivers do not visit each other's homes. Any visitation be done by phone or video chat. And if home visits have to be done, people talk through doors or maybe take a walk outside. There have been a number of clergy now that have been diagnosed with coronavirus around the country, partially because I think of how much they touch and interact with other people on any given Sunday or throughout the week. So it is dangerous for clergy who are hyper-exposed. Hospitals, nursing homes now are banning anybody from visiting, with the exception of allowing last rites or prayers for the dying at the end of someone's life. So even the normal work that we do in institutional settings as faith communities is being challenged as well.
All right. So thank you so much, Mr. Gudaitis. Any words of inspiration, comfort that you'd like to share with our audience?
I do think it's important to follow the science, to make sure you're getting your information from a health department, and to remember that faith communities are there for the people who need them and those who don't even think that they do. So we have to remain open and available just through ways we're not used to. And we need to think about those in creative ways. But our job is to make sure that people remain hopeful and remember that this too shall pass, mm-hmm. And that we will, of course, mourn anyone who dies, but most people may not even know that they're sick and they're passing it to others. So our job is to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. That's our job, and to make sure that they don't lose hope and that they know we love and care for and pray for them, even if we can't see them or touch them. And when we think about other populations that would find that hard, think about the homeless, the poor, the homebound, the sick, the dying, to make sure that we reach out by phone, talk to them, love them, pray for them, and making sure that they remember that this too shall pass and things will return to normal in due time. But for now, it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be a little bit scary, but we don't have to be overly scared. We don't need to empty out every store in the city, but we do have to be smart about it and make sure we're just caring for one another.
All right. Thank you so much. I do appreciate you sharing this information with our audience.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Take care.
You as well.
This has been a presentation by Ask Our Pastor, where your spiritual questions are answered. On Ask Our Pastor, we meet with leaders of various denominations located in our community. Each spiritual leader addresses topics ranging from modern religion, leadership, youth, community health, and many more. If you have questions about today's session, or if you would like to continue the conversation, go to www.askourpastor.org. That's www.askourpastor.org.